Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to take a look at the first part of a two-part series on last day's prophecy and how it's looking on the world stage today. Let's get started. You know, Daniel was the first book of the Bible I studied after giving my heart to the Lord many years ago, and I've continued studying it and teaching it ever since. But I'm sensing it's time to once again revisit chapter 9. World events are such that I think we should renew our vision of God's omnipotence and omniscience. Daniel was probably a teen or very young man when the king of Babylon's army conquered Jerusalem and tore it down. He, along with many others, were taken captive to the foreign land and served the king, eventually becoming one of his advisors. Several amazing stories are recorded for us in the first chapters of this book, and by the time chapter 9 occurs, well, the Medes had conquered Babylon. But God wasn't done with Daniel. As with the kings of Babylon, Daniel continued serving the kings of the Medes and Persians. Chapter 9 transpires, or rather is recorded, during the reign of Darius the Mede. Now, Daniel writes, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the Lord, the word of the Lord, that is, through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." That's Daniel 9:2. By this time, Daniel is probably in his 80s or thereabouts. The books he mentions are the Hebrew scriptures, and he points specifically to the book of Jeremiah. "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." That's Daniel 9:3. Now, during this time of deeply earnest prayer, an angelic messenger, Gabriel, came to him, and Daniel records, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the visions.'" Well, here it is. 70 weeks, that is, that word weeks means sevens. 70 sevens are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined or decreed. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. That whole section is Daniel 9, 23 through 27. In this passage, the word translated as weeks, like I said, is literally sevens. So the prophecy starts with a declaration that 70 sevens have been determined or pre-established, in which several awesome things will be accomplished. Note also that these sevens are set specifically for the Jewish people and Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. So what are these awesome things? First, he says to finish the transgression, or literally the rebellion or breakaway. You see, mankind broke away from God back in the Garden of Eden, and the Lord said that within this period, the rift would be healed. Mankind, including the Jewish people, would be reconciled with our loving Creator. The revolt ended, the rift healed. But for this to happen, the next promised occurrence had to take place. That is, to make an end of sins, or literally, offenses and their penalties. Now, all of man's offenses before a just and holy God had to be paid for. All past, present, and future offenses. And furthermore, the slate had to be wiped clean so the true reconciliation of man with God could take place. That is, not only would all offenses and their penalties be satisfied, but it would be as if they never occurred in the first place. Quote, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Then he added the kicker. Not only would the rift be bridged, offenses and penalties ended, and reconciliation produced, but then a perfect future is guaranteed. For he said that, quote, everlasting righteousness would be brought in, eternal rightness for everyone and everything. Wow. Finally, he said that vision and prophecy would be sealed or closed up, and that the Most Holy would be anointed. So, what was revealed in this passage is clearly the grand and glorious plan of God, and the timepiece, so to speak, for it also is made obvious. Remember, the Jews and Jerusalem. Like two hands on a clock, and they're ticking off 70 sevens, or 490. But 490 what? Well, we'll see, it refers to 490 years. Verse 25 gives more details. Specifically, the passage says that from the going forth or issuance of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and notably the wall of the city, until the coming of Messiah the Prince, that is, Messiah hailed as royalty in the line of David, would be a total of 7 plus 62, or 69 sevens, or 483 years. Then, verse 26 adds that after this period, the Messiah would be cut off or killed, but not for himself. This prophecy is so explicit in its schedule. Only God could pull it off. You see, just as Daniel predicted, the command which allowed the Jews to restore Jerusalem, and specifically to rebuild the wall, was given in what we would call March 5th, 444 B.C. I'll say that again. March 5th, 444 B.C. by Artaxerxes Longimanus to Nehemiah. That's another book in the Bible, Nehemiah. Other similar decrees were given, but this one including the rebuilding of the wall, that is, restoring the city's defenses, as mentioned in the prophecy. We arrive at this date by looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 2, verse 1. Then, by knowing that Artaxerxes succeeded his father, Xerxes immediately after his death, around December 17th, 465 BC, and had a year of accession before his own reign began. We come then to Nisan, that's the Hebrew month, Nisan 1, 444 BC. That's the same as March 5th, 444 BC. Now, we're going to do a little arithmetic. Although the total period outlined in the passage was 77s, or 490 years, the declaring of the Messiah as king was pinpointed as being after the 62 sevens, which are listed after the first seven sevens. Therefore, put it after 7 plus 62, or 69 sevens. Well, that equals 483 years. Now, we also must use a 360-day calendar for each year. Now, this was the calendar of that day, and the calendar originally used as shown in the Genesis account of Noah's flood. It's the prophetic year, if you would. So, if each year holds 360 days, and we want to measure out a span of 483 years, that's the same as, big number here, 173,880 days. Now, let's begin with March 5th, 444 BC, and we'll proceed forward that number of days, 173,880 days. Accounting for the 116 leap years in that period, only one year between 1 BC and 1 AD, and a couple other slight imperfections in our own calendar, guess what? We come to Monday, March 30th, 33 AD, exactly. There, indeed, we find Jesus riding on the donkey, entering Jerusalem, hailed as the Son of David, that is, Messiah the Prince. And just as Daniel's messenger foretold, Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. Jesus laid down his life freely on the crucifix of Calvary the following Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD, but not for himself. You see, he was sinless, the spotless Lamb of God. He was cut off for us. Now, you may be thinking, well, we've explained the 69 sevens, but we started with 70 sevens. What about the last seven? Well, I'd say that's very astute. The last seven is the seven-year tribulation period described by Jeremiah. Same book as what Daniel was reading, as, and it says, alas for that day, period of time, is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Now, Lord willing, I'll go into more on that in another post, another podcast, I should say. And you can check out my others on the whole book of Revelation, available on this website or on my sister website called thefathersgrace.com, or at my rss.com site entitled Abundance of Grace. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust Him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of His grace today.